life. That's why you remember the word says to love with all your strength, all your might. What? That my translation is a little loose. I got other scriptures in my spirit right now. But you understand, you know what I'm talking about? That you're loving with all your strength, all your might, all your being, all these things. See? We don't love him like that. Because we love him with all our strength, we wouldn't get weak in areas of our own life. You know, we wouldn't struggle with our bills. If we loved him with all our strength, if we loved him with all our might, you wouldn't get weak when somebody spoke something over your body. You just say, not this body. This body belongs to God. This body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. There ain't no disease or sickness can live in it. But when something said over your body, well, you know, I ain't real sure about this now. You know, they're professionals. They got all the books. They got all the schooling. They know about the body. God created this. They didn't create it. They just trying to work on it. And I use the word try. How many went and had a symptom in your body and they give you something and it either made it worse or didn't affect it at all? You know why? They're practicing medicine. They're going to see if it works, and if it don't, we'll try something. Oh, God says, it's healed.
Amen.
You ask God about your body. What about my body, Lord? It's healed. It's made in my creating just like me.
Amen.
Created in my likeness and my image. And again, church, as we get into the Word, that's why Satan is scared of you. That's why he fears and trembles you. And that's why his attacks are so relentless against you. That's why they're relentless. He don't want this church to get another member. Or not a member, because ain't no member. He don't want this family to grow. He don't want us to get it. He don't want the word to go no further than it went. Because if it does, he knows he's losing. See, and he knows he's losing. He just don't want you to know that he's a loser. Because you'd say, boy, Satan just run, and you probably made a mistake. Satan just running havoc through my life right now. Man, I just can't get ahead right now. That's where he wants you to stay. But through the love of God, when you get the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding of God's Word, all these things will be a thing of the past. They won't bother you anymore. See, what you got to understand, when God loves you, he never takes it back. He never turns his back on you. Never has, never will. When you was at your worst as a sinner, when you was in the deepest ditch, in the darkest pit, at the most ugliest time, God was still loving you. And you've never done anything, or you never will do anything to make him stop that love. Man, you got to understand. That's why John knew he was the beloved of God. And there's a difference between love and be loved. See, and that's the key to this message this morning. You've got to get to a place to know you're the beloved of God. And we're going to show you in the Word this morning of the difference between that and how Satan used that. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. But he even tried it with Jesus. And we're going to show you in the Word here in just a few minutes that he didn't even address him as the beloved. Because he knew he could do nothing with those that know they're the beloved. He got a defense for it, church. He don't have a defense for you once you have an understanding that you are beloved. John knew his beloved. That's why it was so hard to kill him. They tried and tried until they beheaded. They even put a vat or of oil and was going to boil him in it. And couldn't get it done. Because he kept on telling, I'm the beloved of Christ. I'm the beloved of God. It didn't work for him. See, the devil knows what to do to keep you worried. And that's to keep you from knowing who you are in Christ Jesus and to knowing God's love. He has no defense. Hear me this morning. He has no defense. He don't know what to do with anyone that knows and gets the revelation that I am the beloved of God. That's when he panics. That's when he understands that you understand who you are in Christ Jesus. Now, this is rich this morning. This will change the way you look at your Christian walk. It'll change the way you look at the Scriptures. And we've done prayed over your mind and your spirit this morning that you see it the way God wants you to see it. Satan is scared of you. That's a revelation. Give God a hand of praise right there. Can you? Satan's scared of you. I know all this time, I know some of you sitting in here, you thought, he ain't because he, man, the things he's doing, the things he's done, the things I'm hearing, he ain't very scared. Yes, he is. Because you have the capability to get this wisdom and this knowledge. You have. And I don't care who you are. You and he knows it. And that ought to inspire one or two this morning. But he has no defense when you understand you're the beloved of God and that God is in love with you. And when you begin to feed on it and when you begin to understand it the way God says to understand it, then your life becomes easy. It's an easy walk. How many times have you heard me testify? Being a Christian is wonderful. I'm not struggling as a Christian because this is the easiest thing I've ever done. Being a drunk was hard. I'm telling you. Getting in fights all the time was hard. It's hard on your body because if you hit, they hit back and it hurt. Out there pushing and shoving around, cussing every breath. That take work. You can sweat. Anger makes you, it'll wire you out. Loving God says it gives strength. Don't ever let somebody, boy, ain't it tough? No. It ain't. It's that way if you choose it to be that way. If you choose to struggle as a Christian, that's your fault. It's your fault. That's why Christians ought to smile all the time. I don't care if you ain't got nothing to smile. Smile anyway. All it does is tick Satan off. What are they smiling for? Look where I've got them. But your thought is, look where God can take me. It don't matter that I'm here. God's taking me there. All I got to do is stay focused. All I got to know is that God's in love with me. And he's working all things. Is that not what the word says? That he's working all things for my good? That he never leaves me? I might be struggling right here, but God's here with me. And God's got me a way out of this struggle. What's the love? Being rooted and grounded in his love. And again, it's not hard. So let's this morning, let's determine in our heart not to make it hard. I said, look at the biggest, well, I can't tithe because, you know, if I tithe, I ain't got the money I need. Well, see, you made tithing a struggle. Because your folks, it's you and not God. God says, I'll rebuke, thank you, Talmon. He said, I'll rebuke the devourer. You give to me, I'll make sure you get it back. Above all that you ask or think. You might just be believing God for a $200 light bill. God says, I got $2,000. I got your car payment and your light bill covered. Well, see, you got to understand that it ain't you that's giving, it's God that's giving. But you got to get a revelation. Because I've had a lot of people come up to me Just in 3 months, this year. You know, I'd like to do more for the church, you know, but we just got these bills and we done this, and I just can't do no more. I'm doing. Well, see, you're living there. You focused on you and not focused on God's love. That God says, I'll meet every need. Why would God meet all your needs? Because He loves you so much. That's why He'll meet all your needs. That's why His Word says that. That's why He put that in His Word to encourage you. Because He loves you enough, He ain't worried about you. He's just going to give to you. And He don't want you to worry about giving. He don't want you to worry about your body. He's done took care of it. His Son was sent in your place. That your body don't suffer. So that's just, there are areas that we got to change our focus and our thinking about. That God loves me enough. My body's okay. My life is okay because God is in love with me. And Satan knows it. That's why the pressure turns up. Because he don't want you to know it. He don't want you to know that he's scared. Every time you open that Bible, every time you come to a church service, every time you can get around church people at your work and you're just good, he go, oh no. Oh, don't let them hear that one word that's going to make it work for them. Don't let them know God loves them that way. And so what's he do? He adds pressure. You at your job, and you out there just enjoying yourself for a few minutes and, you know, talking about the... And your boss comes out there and goes hollering at you. Why? It's a distraction to get you off God. You pay all your bills. You finally get in a revelation. God, you pay all your bills. You got $150 left over. First time you've done that in 16 years. You got $150 of free money. And all of a sudden you pull out of your driveway and you cut two tires down. And you go, oh, here's my extra money's gone. See, you forgot to rejoice that all your bills was met. Now, Satan ain't got no right to cut your tires off your car either. But if you keep your thought, Mark's calling and say, hey, we got brand new tires up here. They're $180 tires. We're selling them for $60 a piece. Get rid of them. You got to have your thoughts right. No weapon formed against you should bring you down. What should bring... The weapon it's for was made to lift you up in Christ Jesus. That God, the pressure's tough, but God's bigger than the pressure. It's got to be a focus change. It's got to be. See, again, you got to feed on it, but you got to feed on it all the time. You just can't feed on it on Sunday. And unfortunately for this man, there's a lot of people, and I ain't putting nobody down, not belittling you at all. I want to charge you. I want to ignite you that a lot of people, all the word you're getting is what's here on Sunday. That's a shame. That's a shame. Your life becomes easy when you begin to feed on it. And that means there's no more dis-ease. There's no more uncomfortableness in your walk with God. No more struggles. And when the struggle comes, it ain't no more of a struggle because you understand how much God is in love with you. It's time, Christian, and as a pastor, it's hard to watch you all be disappointed. Christians should quit being disappointed in their relationship and in their walk with God, in their prayer, that no prayers are being answered. Well, I'm praying and nothing's happening. That brings disappointment. Well, Lord, I've asked, but nothing happens. In their believing, God, I've trusted you and I'm believing, nothing's happened. In their giving, Lord, I give. I stepped out this week, and I give. And I think Casey brought it up. You know, her and Will give a gift. And she said it give till it hurt. But you don't see no return back on that gift. All your focus is, well, I give it, and now my money's gone. That's why your money's gone, because that's where you're thinking. That's why it's that way. Don't see any harvest. Well, I laid hands on my body. I had the church to lay hands on my body, and I don't see any results. That's why you don't see any results, because you don't want to see any results. You ain't got your mind off the pain yet. You don't have your mind off the symptoms yet. You don't have your mind off the report yet. That's why there's disappointment there. And that's where Satan wants to keep you, because he's scared of you. When the pain comes, you jump up anyway. When you're hurting and you say, by God's grace, by God's love, this ain't no thing to me. When the reports keep coming and you just say, I'm the beloved of God. That's when Satan worries. Hey, I've got him to speak this on you, and now you're saying it ain't yours. Now you're saying this don't belong to you. I've sent the professionals, I've sent the doctor to speak a report to keep you bound up, to keep you in a negative state, and you're just rejoicing through it. You just keep shouting that God's for you and not against. You just keep shouting that by his stripes I'm healed. He's scared. You got to know that, church. You got to know he's scared of you, because everyone in here, everyone that's created by God, has the capability of understanding God's love and moving from their circumstance. But if your mind's always thinking, I'm broken, I'm sick, and I'm unhappy, and nothing's working, then you're going to be sick, unhappy, broke, and nothing's going to work. All you got to do is change. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 3. There's two critical points I want to get to, and I've got about 18 minutes before you get to fidgeting on me. Stop being disappointed. Stop being disappointed. Make a decision this morning. Matter of fact, just touch somebody on the shoulder, give it a little squeeze there. Just say, don't be disappointed. Don't be disappointed. Glory to God. Can you give him a praise right there? Can you? Would you? Don't be disappointed. Ephesians 4, verse 17. Going to read 17, 18, 19, but our focus this morning wants to be on 20. But we'll read this. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in what?
Love.
Say it like you love it.
Love.
Love. That you be rooted and grounded in love. He didn't say be rooted and grounded in faith. Be rooted and grounded in believing. Be rooted and grounded in the church. Be rooted and grounded in prayer. Be rooted and grounded in anything. He tells you specifically what will make your heart grow by faith is being rooted and grounded in
love.
That's right.
Love. Be rooted and grounded in worry. Be rooted and grounded in lack of funds. Be rooted and grounded in fear. Be rooted and grounded on the attacks of the devil. Rooted and grounded, that Christ may dwell in your heart, that ye be rooted and grounded in love. In love. Love is the thing that won't let you down. Love is the thing that won't fail you. Love will turn negatives to positives. Love will bring you out. Love will put you in light and bring you out of darkness. Love will negate the negative reports. Love, sickness can't stay. Glory to God. Glory to God. Where there's love, sickness can't dwell. But you got to understand you're beloved. We're getting there. We're getting there. Verse 18. May be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, and depths, and height. See, we ain't scratched the surface on God's love. We don't understand how big that love is. We don't understand how tall it is. George Wright, God's so big you can't get around Him. He's so high you can't get over it. He's so low you can't get up. So just walk in at the love door. Just walk in at the love. Just walk in. Quit trying to figure it out. God's got it figured out. And it's in love where all things are going to work for your good. And to know the love of Christ. I got to ask you, do you know the love of Christ? Are you trying to figure life out for yourself? I'm a Christian. I'm not debating or judging your Christianity at all. What I'm wanting you to do is, how much love do I understand that God has for me? Isn't that what the Word just said? Can you comprehend how big that love is? Can you get a focus on how it is? And now He's telling us to know about it. Not just hear it preached to you and get up and leave and go back to your normal routines of worry, fear, doubt, confused, sick, and broke, and poor, pitiful me. He said, know about it. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. That means your way of thinking. To understand God's love, you're going to have to understand God. You know, I've told you a bunch of times, if you're going to serve God, you need to know a little bit about Him. It shouldn't just be something you say. It should be something you know. And I ain't pointing out how important your spirit's got to come alive with this. And I've shared this every service, going to share it again. You are not going to be able to receive, comprehend, and expound on God's love just with your mind knowledge. It's got to be from deep within here. It's got to be from your spirit. And then your spirit will tell your mind, now you know what you're talking about. Now you know what's up there in that gray matter. And it'll line the rest of it up. Because your feelings will tell you, I don't feel good, but your spirit and your mind, oh yeah, you do. You're the beloved of God. Yeah, you do feel good. Don't you let no demon try to mess with us today. We're the beloved of Christ. Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah, and he says, so you need that knowledge. That you might have always, that word has always just grabbed me when I read the word. Why? Because you get a choice now. You get a choice to comprehend the love of God. You get a choice to receive it. You get a choice to reject. You get a choice to be rooted and grounded in it. You get a choice just to be sowed on stony. Your love, just sow it on stony ground. So whatever comes just washes you away or blows you right away. You take seed, you put it in this wet soil out here, you throw it out there on the asphalt, it'll just be blowed with every wind. And unfortunately, that's a lot of Christians, they just blowed with every wind. Every report just shoves them this way and that way, up and down, in and out, back and forth. But he says, if you know this, that you can be filled with all the fullness, or where that fullness is, with all the love of God. You can be filled with that. All God's love will fill you But you make a choice. Do you want to be filled with it? Do you not want to be filled with it? Do you want these issues that you've been dealing with in life to keep pestering you, to keep being a part of you? Or would you rather be filled with God's love? Oh, with all the love of God, or all the God stuff. Remember the message on the God stuff? That's part of love. That God loves in that stuff. All God's got, He's given. And God ain't nothing but love. That's love. Now, unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. What power is he? He's talking about the power of love. You can just make you a side note out there and write love right there beside that 20th verse in there. That love's going to work it all out. That love of God. Above all that you ask or think. See, most Christians just want to get by. They just want to squeak through. God says, I'll open it wide. You can walk in proud with your chest out. Boy, you can stand tall. You ain't got to slither in. That's Satan's business. He's the one whose legs was cursed off of him. And the Word of God in Genesis said, and the dust of people's feet will you eat hereof. You'll slither on your belly for the rest of your days. And you know what? He's still on it. He ain't growed no new legs. He's still eating the dust of the feet. Why? Because he's still cursed and God blessed you. He's still cursed. Again, when God loves you, he don't take it back. And when God cursed Satan, he's still cursed today. Again, quit being disappointed in your Christian walk. The joy of the Lord is strength. Man, I need 2 more hours. I ain't got past half the first page. The joy of the Lord is strength. You need joy. You need some joy. Tell your neighbor, you need some joy. Why do you need joy in your life? Because you've been around demons all day. They've been harassing you since you got up. They woke you up in the middle of the night telling you you was a loser. They woke you up with pain in your body and disrupted your sleep. And God says, great will be the rest or the peace of his people. He says in his word, that you can rest well. And Satan's harassing you while you're trying to sleep. And God says you can have perfect rest. That's why you need the joy of the Lord. That's why you need joy and God's strength. So you can rest the way God says to rest. The demons are harassing you all night and day. And you're hearing all these worldly things that nothing's going to work out. The economy's folding up. Nobody likes the president. Your job as a Christian is to pray for that man. Amen. I don't care if you voted for him, dislike him, didn't vote. You get around people and they get to down in the president, you need to walk away. He's a leader of this country at this moment. They've doubted his Christianity. They've doubted whether he's saved or not. That's none of your business. His salvation is between him and God. You ain't to judge that man. You to pray for him. And prayer, what? Changes things. Prayer changes. Obama ain't God. Congress ain't God. The U.S. government ain't God. God's God. And he ain't giving up the post.
That's right.
That's why you need the joy. Because all these negative things that you're hearing. And the joy of the Lord. RJ had to leave, but a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. That's joy. When you can keep a happy thought. It don't matter about what you hear. And you just put a smile on your face. What are you smiling about? Because God's in love with me. That's why I smile. Because God is in love with me. And I have a great life. I ain't struggling with life. I have a great life. Because God's in love with me. Romans 5:5, quickly. Are you there? And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Now the Holy Ghost dwells within you. And the Amplified of this verse says, such love never disappoints. Never disappoints or puts us to shame. Puts us to shame. Why? Because God loves us and has poured out into our hearts His love. That's why you're an overcomer. That's why you have already made it. Now you just got to convince yourself. You just got to adapt to it. We've adapted to lack. We'll adapt to sickness. We'll adapt to anger. We'll adapt to disappointment. Adapt that you're the beloved of God. Watch the change. Watch the difference. But such love never disappoints. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed. God has put His love and poured it out upon you by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit wants us to first understand love. Because when people represent, what most people comprehend as the Holy Spirit is, because it's preached that way, it is taught that way in the Word, that it is power. You'll never understand the Holy Spirit's kind of power unless you first understand God's love. Amen. Because you'll just shout out at all my key, and I'm sick as a dog. Oh man, I'm hurting here. I'm probably going to get laid off tomorrow. I'm going to lose my job. My kid's on drugs. You don't know what you're praying. But first love, then the power. First love, then power. And that's what the Holy Ghost, you know, that's the first time the Holy Ghost mentioned in the book of Romans. It's right there. But he's trying to show, yeah, the Holy Spirit worketh within you. But do you know what He's working on? I mean, there's nothing wrong, and don't be disappointed. Again, it's not a disappointment. But don't just go and say, okay, I'm gonna spend 35 minutes speaking in tongues, and then get up and go fight with your wife. Or go in there and look at your bills. Go, it's the end of the month. I got to get all my bills. Got to get my checkbook out. Got to pile all my bills up here. And I got to get. But first, I'm gonna go pray. I told God, you know, I'd pray 20 minutes in the Holy Spirit. At such time. And then I got this to do before I take a shower and go to bed. And you go in there and you pray. And just work up a sweat and a lather. And then you go in there and sit down there. Oh God, how's this go? I ain't got enough money. There's no way. I can pay all these bills. It's because you don't understand God's love and you don't understand that Satan is scared. He don't care if you pray 60 hours in the Holy Spirit, as long as you don't understand it. It don't bother him. All you've done is wasted time. Church, the revelation has to come that because God loves me so much that my life is a joyous, wonderful life. Everything's going to work out in my life because of God's love, because I am the beloved of God. And we're going to stay in the same place that we're in right now until we understand it. Until we understand it, we'll be here dealing with the same things next year that we're dealing with today because we've never decided, okay, I understand this. I've changed my mind. I've changed my thoughts. I'm no longer trying to love God with my head. I'm loving Him from my spirit. My spirit is growing, and Satan is scared of me. He's worried because if I get this, then he don't have a chance. I'm going to show you this right quick as we close. The Holy Spirit first wants you to understand the love. Then with that understanding comes the power. Then you will see signs and wonders. Signs and wonders will follow. Amen.
Amen.
First two out of first four points quickly. Before, it's not the love for the power, but the power of God's love is what you're searching for. You want that power. That's your focus. That I focus on the power that is surrounded and engulfed in God's love, then the power for everything else exists. There's capabilities there. So the first thing that has to be established is, number one, God loves you.
Amen.
God loves you. When you understand that God loves you, on that love, every bit of them. And you'll never, ever, hear me good this morning, you'll never, ever walk in disappointment again when you hang all your hopes and your thoughts and your understanding on God's kind of love. When you walk in God's love, God's kind of love, you'll always overcome trouble. Always. Romans 8:37, we are more than conquerors through Him that loves us. More than conquerors. I'm getting there. Give me a minute. Four PowerPoints. I'll give you two this morning. Again, God never takes His love back. Never takes His love back. It's not where you living at. It don't matter what you're living, God's still in love with you, and He's still sharing His love and pouring His love out on you. Number one, quickly, everything. The four PowerPoints of God's love. Number one, everything that the devil does is to destroy the sense and the confidence that God loves you. Everything he's done is so you will not grasp God's kind of love. Your sense that you are the beloved of God. He'll use anything he can. Religion. Condemnation, your past,
sure.
Try to convince you that God don't love you and that God is always mad at you because you fall short of that mark of excellence. Everything he does is to destroy that sense of God's love. Number two, and we'll close. The devil has no defense. The devil has no defense for those that will understand, receive, and sit down and rest and know that they are beloved of Christ. He has no defense for it. That's why he wants to keep you bound. That's why he wants to keep you shaken. That's why he wants you to be constantly looking at disappointment. No defense for those who know that they're God's beloved and that God is in love. None. Punch somebody and tell them none. 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 No defense. He cannot beat you when you understand you're the beloved of God. You can stand to your feet this morning. I apologize that I've kept you just a little longer. I'd like to get to these other two. We'll start with, if God leads us, we'll do that next week. Might even go into it Wednesday. Might preach to you twice this week. That be okay? And get these other two points in. Give you a little study topic this week. If you want to go Big John and then 1 John 1, 2, and 3, but just go through John 1, 2, and 3 and just count. Give you a little Bible history and knowledge of how many times in that book that he calls you his beloved son. Talking about you, ain't talking about Jesus. Talking about you, that you look in there and he'll and just count the times that he calls you his beloved. That you are the beloved sons of Christ, the beloved of the Father. And when you read it, every time you see that beloved, just say, devil, you ain't got no defense. Devil, you have nothing that can defeat me because I understand I'm the beloved of God. Amen. Give him a shout and a praise.